Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's a wonderful prayer. Continuing with my Lenten theme, that Jesus didn't come to change God's mind about us, but to change our mind about God, to change the way that we respond to him. I'm going to focus on today's reading from Philippians, where St. Paul describes Christ's attitude towards God. I like to look at it, you know, as a mission statement, kind of. You know, although my personal mission statement includes verse 5, which we did not read. It's too bad we didn't read it, because it contains, to me, a very important line, and I think really provides us with some guidance as to how we are to relate to each other and to the world. This line reads, verse 5 reads, "Have among yourselves in the same attitude that is also yours in Christ Jesus." And our reading continues on, you know, "who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave." This attitude mentioned in verse 5 is a reminder to us that we are to be aware of that we are united in Christ, that we were all organically tied to him. As a limb is to the body, or a branch is to the tree. And we are tied to each other as such, and should treat each other as such. When we're cognizant of this personal relationship with Christ, and when we are living in him, that is when we are in Christ. For me, it is then that I am humble and aware of my connection with the world as one among many. It's a reminder that I am not God, no matter how much I wish to be in control. The other important idea that the reading from Philippians points out to us is this idea of emptying ourselves. And we are to model this Christ the servant, to be this slave, if you will, to God, to our God. This mission statement also contains other key ideas, most notably obedience, but specifically obedience unto death, death in a horrible way, as we heard about in the gospel this morning. It offers us a reminder that our lives as Christians will often require obedience to God in ways that will cause us to suffer as we die to self, as Paul says elsewhere. I'm sure others can relate to this cost of discipleship that Dietrich Bonhoeffer pointed out or spoke of. There is no cheap grace. In Jesus' case, this emptying of himself, this radical and complete divesting of worldly power and position, was Jesus' greatest show of power. For from it, sin and death were destroyed and Satan defeated completely. Think about this as we reflect during Holy Week and other times, of course, when contemplating the Lord's death and resurrection. And maybe it will offer you the answer to this question. Why did Jesus have to suffer like this? This self-emptying that Jesus exemplified is what we call kenosis. That is the emptying of one's own will and becoming entirely receptive to God and the divine will. A complete surrender to what God plans for us. The search for this emptying out from within, the self-emptying, is the basis for all mysticism. From the Russian tradition to our own contemplative, Roman Catholic tradition, and even of the Buddhists, among others, the Sufis have the same self-emptying. It is the opposite of what we do, though, and have done since we were children. We grasp to fill. We don't empty. We grasp for knowledge. We grasp for power, the will to power, as Nietzsche called it. And we grasp for godlike omniscience and omnipotence, or omnipotence. We want control, for through control we believe we will know peace and happiness. We believe that if we arrange our lives just so, we will be happy. We grasp to fill that God-shaped hole in us that can only be filled by God, not by us. Hopefully, as we move through this most holiest of weeks in the Easter season, we can use these verses from Philippians as perspective from which to view the life of Jesus and perhaps our own. For as we know, the self-emptying Jesus demonstrated eventually led to his exaltation by God and his resurrection. And so for us, offers us the truest hope for our own lives. Amen.